Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about Land Business 501, planning for your exit.
Yes. This is the best part, right?
Does it mean it's over? Heck no.
Right. Will we ever retire?
No.
Let's be honest. I know. No. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, it's never going to end. Like end. I might not be as involved. You know, I might be working a lot less time, a week, a month, but it'll never end.
There's three or four ways companies exit or owners of companies exit the company. Almost in all cases, all good cases, the company goes on. It's just without you. Or you're compensated in some way for your expertise, but we'll cover the four. There are some people in life, this is all they do, is they exit companies, like private equity groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll compare what we do. I get this question at the live event every single year. What's the exit on this, man? Because it doesn't make any sense. If I start buying and selling land, then the company just dies.
Yep.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Liban, hope I said that okay, wrote, hi there. I'm new and recently went through all of the Land Academy materials, 1.0, 2.0, and the Cash Flow from Land program. And I was wondering if someone could provide more detail on how to choose a county to invest in. There's quite a bit in there. I'm a little confused. I feel there was a gap, which kept that topic at a very high level. Curious if you all followed a particular method in choosing your county, especially since it seems that once you choose a county, you're pretty much committed to it for several months, if not longer. Thanks. I don't have any missing pieces there. What do you think this is about, or what do the comments say?
I didn't see the comments.
Oh.
I know that our two moderators are jumped on this really quickly.
And they said go back to
number one.
Chapter two?
Probably.
Okay.
But I mean, I'll clarify it very easily. This is a hugely, how to choose a county and how to price a mailer are the two, number one and two questions that we get. So that's why I included it in here, Jill, because, and then we just did this thing, this Tuesday webinar.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big topic for everyone.
Right. It's like, it's not that there's not enough information in there, but for some reason, I think I think it's confidence.
It's confidence.
They kind of want a little bit of a, am I doing it right? That's
right.
It. It's like I give you 10 steps and you go through the 10 steps and you still want to know, am I doing it right? You probably are. Did the cookies come out? Well, it's true. What?
If the cookies come out?
Well, I give you a recipe. You know what it is? I give you a recipe and you bake them. This is a good example. I think this is what we're doing. We gave you a recipe. You bake the cookies and you're asking me, does it taste right? How's that?
I think that's perfect.
Thank you.
In
my
general,
question is, my answer is, do you like them? Then yes.
Like every single thing in buying and selling land and Land Academy and House Academy, like everything. There's no guessing.
Right.
And that's where the disconnect is. We have this thing called the red, green, yellow test that we are extremely loud and clear about on buying houses and buying infill lots. And the disconnect is that it's not getting used to buy rural vacant land or recreation land.
Right.
It's not that tool. So there's some loss in translation there. What you do is you line up the four or five counties in the red, green, yellows test, pull the county data, either from Redfin or Realtor.com, and you pit the counties against each other to see which ones come out crazy green. Which one's days on market is really low, which county or two counties or three counties have the least amount of property for sale as a percentage of the universe of property that's in that county, and a few other things. And at the end of that, you line up 10 counties against each other, two or three of those counties, it's going to pass data test. Then you put the data away, and this is true for all investing. I don't care what, if it's stock market investing, it's the same thing. There's a point where you put the data away, close your eyes for a second, and then go test it for a reason. You go out to Google Earth or wherever it is that you go out to on the internet, take a look at it and say, this county has this type of property. Is that what I want to buy? I'll give you an example. We were talking about it a couple days ago. or maybe it was on, no, yeah, a couple days ago. There's a ton of property in Florida that passes the tests. I don't like Florida, so we don't buy property there. Well, I don't even know why.
I was going to add your test for reasoning is perfect. So I love what you just said. Then you put your data away. Now test it for reason. See if it makes sense to you. A couple of things, too, is how responsive is the county? Do they have a good, you know, can you easily pull up all the ownership information? Is, you know, in NeighborScoop and maybe on the county GIS, check the back taxes, whatever it is.
Are they working right now?
Yeah. Are they open?
During the COVID.
Yeah. Can they report stuff for you? Do they have a GIS site? Exactly. Do a couple things like that too to go through your own list of, yeah, this is a good county. So if I send out offers and get them back, I can do what I need to do.
So I'm going to speak personally now, and I'm not.
Truth time.
Yeah, truth time. And I'm not criticizing. This is a very good question, by the way. I'm not criticizing the person who's asking this question at all. It's a very valid question. The internet travels, the internet growth and improvement travels at the speed of sound. So it would be impossible for us as instructors to keep up with the available tools and resources that you have. So I intentionally avoid, I can't avoid it altogether, but I intentionally avoid putting all these tools into the core education programs, because 2 weeks after we record it, it's going to be different. And there's no way I can keep up with it.
It's true.
No matter how I teach, picking a county in a few months, 6 months, 8 months, it's going to be different.
Very true.
So what I want to communicate very, very clearly is we're here to give you the basics and show you how to do this stuff, but we can't hold your hand to the point where there's just an ironclad way to pick a county and you are going to make money.
And I'm not going to call everyone every time something changes and go, make sure you're using this now, are you using this now, are you using this now. You need to understand how to
think for yourself.
Exactly.
The vast majority in this group, I'm talking about 95%, maybe 98% of the people who are regularly sending out mail.
That's good.
Don't have these questions. I'm not knocking it. Mm-hmm. They know how to pick a county, and probably one out of eight or nine counties that they pick or 10, it didn't work. And so, but they don't, really we never good. Hear about it.
Whatever we're using right now for, you know, having your calls forwarded, whatever you're doing, that's going to change in 6 months. I'm not going to tell everybody, go get this phone and have this kind of a burner phone and this kind of a plan, because there's going to be something better. And someone might show me something better too, right. By the way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's how I currently pick a county. I can guarantee how I pick a county and how I price a mailer in 6 months will be different. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have the Thursday calls for.
That's true.
So if you really want to, if you're in our group, want to keep up to date on all this stuff, please attend our Thursday calls.
Right.
Today's topic, Land Business 501, planning for an exit. This is the meat of the show.
This is my favorite.
Is it?
Why not?
Number three is my favorite.
Oh gosh, number five. I like, because you know why?
Tell us
you know why?
Why? Here's why. This is really interesting for me.
Okay. Because at this point in your career, you can go, I'm going to show up. I can voluntarily show up, number one. And number two, I have the option to only work on things that I want to when I want to. Does that make sense? It's kind of like acquisition. You know, our acquisitions, where we're at right now. Myself and my team, even my team more than me, right, are doing a lot of, they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting. I'm going in now more than you and doing the picking the deals, approving the deals, writing the checks, that kind of a thing. You get to pop in and out whenever you want, or zero if you want. You could be here an hour a week. You can be here 5 hours a week. You can be here no hours a week for the stuff that I got going on, the projects I'm working on. And I think, see, that's the most fun, right? You get to just do whatever you want. And the best thing is too, everything is running very smoothly under your direction based on how you, when I say you, I mean Stephen, I'm talking to Stephen here, how Stephen laid it out, what the criteria is and all of that.
So number five is your favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess that makes sense.
Yep.
So number 501 is not titled exit as a verb. It's titled planning for your exit. So planning for your exit could take 20 years, but you have to have an exit. And that's really what this episode for me is about, because I think too many people when they start a company, they think about the $10,000 a month that it's going to make, or the $100,000, or the millions of dollars, and then they just think it's going to go on forever.
Right.
And you're going to die one day, and it's just going to go on.
Right, and the kids are going to jump in and know exactly what to do.
That's not and they almost never the case.
Right.
So here's a few ways that you can exit a company. And this is what private equity groups do, you know, or companies like Coca-Cola. Like, what's Coca-Cola's exit? It's been just goes on forever.
It's true.
You can exit a company by, I've done this before, where you have, let's say you want $22 million bucks for whatever reason, that number is what you just decided. $22 million in the bank, you're going to buy and sell land until you hit $22 million in the bank, and you're going to turn off the website and turn it all off, and you're going to go live in that property that we talked about that's got legal access. I think it was yesterday. It's got legal access, no physical access, because nobody, you don't want to talk to anybody ever again. That's a way to exit a company.
Yeah, that's true. You can hope that's not what you want, baby.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No. You could sell the company, it's obvious. You know, that works for a lot of product company types. Like a convenience store, you sell it, you're done, whatever. That's obvious.
I never even thought about that.
You can hand off.
Could you imagine? I just got to pause for just a second. I'm surprised we don't have more offers to do that.
You have an I Dream of Genie hair things going on right now.
Is it bad?
I'm sorry. I love it. Don't touch it.
Okay.
For a lot of reasons, I really like it. Let's do a whole show on your hair.
Thanks. What's an I Dream of Genie hair do? Like the way it's kind of flop? I don't know. Okay.
It's up here.
Okay. It just kind of landed that way.
My personal favorite, you can hand it off, and it's under a partnership agreement to a mentee, you know, you're the mentor, or to a relative. So your kids do it. And by the way, you don't have to have one company. Jill and I have like 9 companies. We have Parcel Fact, we have Neighbor Scoop, we have O2O, we have Land Academy, we have our core real estate businesses companies for land and houses. So you can let one of your favorite kid, everybody's got a favorite kid.
Yep.
Run one of them.
It's true.
See if they screw it up.
Yeah. See how bad they screw it up.
You can take one of those companies and creatively finance it. So the guy that started Uber took it public almost immediately, raised a bunch of capital. He did all the tech piece, took it public. They never made a dollar on its 10th anniversary, because this is what the SEC allows. 10 years in one day, sold his entire fortune back out into the stock market and walked away laughing. So you can creatively start a company, have it have some revenue. In his case, not even any net income at all whatsoever, not even approached profitability, and just did a bunch of acquisitions and press releases and micromanaged the stock price. Mm-hmm. And because Uber is such a daily name and the kids love it, you know, those are the stock market buyers right now are little kids. They're 22-year-olds. They just propped it up, falsely propped it up, in my opinion. And the guy walked out with hordes of money for really just smoke and mirrors. So you can create that, but you know, that, is our business type conducive for that kind of exit? Not really. But there's ways, you just need to know about it as a business person. You can play the corporate life cycle like Coca-Cola. They have to grow and they have to manage your stock market, or like Ford. They have to manage competition, keep your market share, and life cycle grow through acquisitions or new markets. And Coke's example, they expand into new markets internationally, and so does Ford. So there's a lot of different ways to exit. You have to decide which one's best for you. What you don't want to do is just stop. And that's the whole point of this episode. You don't want some factor in your business situation. You don't want to run out of money and run out of customers and I see this happen all the time, and that's why I'm bringing it up. And everybody, when it happens, they look around and say, I don't know what happened. Well, what happened is you weren't planning for your exit. And you weren't thinking about this stuff and watching it, micro watching it.
Yeah, it's funny. I have talked to people that have sold off. We bought chunks of property from people that were exiting this, but it was because they had another something that was offsetting their retirement.
Perfect.
So we have come along and bought, you know, a couple hundred pieces of property. The guy just said, you know what, I'm out. It's going to take too long the way we're going to sell these properties. Yep. You know, here, Jill, and we work out a great price, and I just clean out his inventory kind of thing, because he really is out. He's done. But again, it's because there's something else going on.
Maybe his pension kicked in, or he had another company or something.
That's it. It's usually something like that. This was kind of a hobby on the side. It's fun talking to those guys because they've been in it for
because you like so stage five.
Long. Yeah. I love it. They're like, oh, yeah. It's fun because it's a little, it's probably like me. It's like a little bittersweet. Like, it's so easy. They love it. You know what I mean? Who doesn't love getting a phone call to buy a piece of property that you sent on an offer on 10 years ago and they just want to dump it? And you know it's not going to take me much work because I've been doing this for so long to dress it up, get it out there, and make a lot of money off it. It's addicting. It's hard to stop that.
Totally agree.
So I don't see that I could ever lose that. I think I'm going to be 80. Not kidding. I'm going to probably be 80, answering the phone, closing deals. And by then, my number one title agent is going to be 120. And she's still doing deals the same way that they did back in 1949 or whatever it was.
I mean, you want to plan your exit on these companies that you start the same way you plan your estate. You know, you don't want to be blindsided one day you just don't want to be blindsided by one day by illness or anything that can go on in life and not have to pay too much taxes. And it's just, all I'm saying is plan for it.
Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, have a plan.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and make sure that just the same way that you might put assets in a trust, like real estate or all of it, you know, make sure you have a plan. It's too far. All this stuff, we can talk about it, but it's way beyond the scope of this of this episode.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Excuse me. And happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
On Monday, join us for another interesting episode because you are not alone in your real estate ambition.
You don't want to go down the which is true. I mean, I guess that is a whole other conversation on.
I mean, think about how often heir calls us says, I would love to sell you this property and I love your price. It's in my mom's name. She passed away 10 years ago.
Yep.
Please solve it.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's funny because I tell that to people. I told you, I didn't tell you this. I told it to a guy yesterday. I said, okay. And we're still talking because I might do the deal, but I wasn't sure at his price. I don't like his price, but I'm still rethinking it. I don't know. Anyway, he said, I said, well, do me a favor. I said, promise me this, because you could tell he's older. And my assistant said that he had shared that he's ill also. I said, promise me that you'll put it in the kids' names, you know, something so they can transfer it easily. And he said, oh, honey, he said, I'm a bachelor. Is this a marriage proposal? kind of thing. It was really
That's
cute.
Hilarious,
I was
Jill.
Like, aw. That was very sweet. So we had a really good
That's
laugh.
Great. Uh-huh. Now the guy's going to sell you the property no matter
Probably.
What.
We're still communicating.
That's so, the sting of Jill.
It's so funny.
She gets you to love her, and then you'll give her anything.
Well, here's what happened. You want to know truth time? So I'm like, my offer was $98,000. He countered at $125,000. I'm like, okay, it's not too far off, but I'm like, I'm not sure this is really worth it. It could be. So we're going back and forth. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do a little more digging. So I went to almost like my phase 2.5 digging. I went into Title Pro 24/7. I pulled up a property report because my broker was asking me for a plat map. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get you a dumb plat map. So I pulled the property report. And then what I uncovered on there, it looked like the property was sold last year for like $68,000. And I said, did you forget that you sold this and they took out a loan and stuff?
Shoot.
And he's like, that is not correct. I'm like, oh. So I'm helping the guy right now. I gave him names. I gave him phone numbers. I could see the escrow company. I could see the
Something's
the
wrong.
Lender. That's the thing. Something's wrong there. I think the recorder attached it to his, like they got the affidavit of property value or something and they put it against showing his property
more
sold.
More likely he forgot he sold it. He's old.
He's not that old. He's not that. So anyway, I called him and I said, what do you think? He's like, oh no, because he has five other properties and we talked about all of them and who's buying this one. He's got to deal with this guy. Anyway, there's a very likely chance that it was a mistake on somebody else's part, not his part, and it is still available and I'm helping the guy. So then again,
my point of that is... You have the staff to get to the bottom of that.
Oh yeah. Well, he's going to do that. I gave him everything he needed. Okay. I don't mind. You know, this is planning for your exit, and we're at level 500 stuff. I'm doing what I want to do. I love you.
Here we go again.
Oh, sorry, but I'm making the call because I want to, not because I have to.
I know
that, and it's fun for me.
I'm just asking you questions.
Okay, cool.
See how mad she gets?
Yeah. Well, all good. I know you're trying to save me, and I appreciate
no,
that.
No, I'm trying to do a deal.
Oh, yeah, that. Me too. And that's what I'm saying. Anybody's going to get it? I'll get it. I'll get it at my price. Just wait. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm. Engage your interest for future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.
I almost forgot.